In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. And a blessed and beautiful morning to everyone. And I'd like to change gears a little bit here this morning from my usual way and do a little teaching sermon for you, for us. And I hope you find it edifying, informative, and uplifting. This week in the church, we are celebrating one of the most beautiful and meaningful feasts in the whole church year, in the whole liturgical year, which is the Dormition of the Virgin Mary, the Dormition of the Theotokos. And even though this account is not in the Bible, there are plenty of historical documents, liturgical texts, historical writings that preserve how Mary's Dormition took place. Now, the Dormition is the commemoration of her earthly death and then her translation to life, her entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Now, like all of us, Mary, too, grows old. And eventually, she returned from Ephesus to Jerusalem, where she spent her last days in this world. And when Mary's time was approaching, the angel of the Lord came to her with the news that she would soon be with her son and Lord Jesus. So Mary summoned the apostle John, who had been her caretaker since the crucifixion. But by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, not only John, but most of the apostles who were all over the empire preaching, miraculously arrived at the hour of Mary's death. And after Mary had blessed each one of them, she breathed her last, and her body was immediately surrounded by a bright light and angelic singing. The disciples wept both with grief and with joy at the sight. They took her body in solemn procession to a grave that had been prepared at Gethsemane. And in the icon of the feast, I know all of you can't see it, but when you come up later for a blessing, take a look more carefully, you can see an image really of Mary's funeral. Her body lies on the bier, the funeral bier. The disciples are gathered around mourning, praying. One of them is offering incense with the censer. And then in the background, there's this heavenly mandorla, this heavenly halo, indicating the mingling of heaven and earth. And we see in that halo the Lord Jesus escorted by angels, this bright blue-white light of heaven. And in the Savior's arms, he receives the soul of his mother. Now, when Mary's body was placed in the grave, the apostles and her friends, her loved ones, they all kept vigil at the cemetery with prayers and hymns. And so remember I said that most of the apostles who were spread out over the empire miraculously arrived at the hour of Mary's death. Well, the apostle who did not arrive on time was Thomas. And so when Thomas does come, he joins the prayer vigil at Mary's grave and asks if they could open the seal so that he could pay his respects and venerate her sacred body. And this next part is a great mystery in the heart of the church. When Mary's grave was opened, her body was gone. The apostles and friends had been there the whole time. Nobody could have stolen it away. Now, when Christ ascended into heaven, there were about 500 witnesses to that event. With Mary, there's no witnesses to what actually happened. There's no witnesses what happened to her body. Her body was simply missing when they opened the grave for Thomas to venerate. But in the consciousness of the church, it is proclaimed without a doubt that she too, the Mother of God, has ascended into heaven. It's such a beautiful and powerful and sublime mystery, this Dormition of the Virgin Mary. But what does it mean for us? What does it mean for the life of the church? And to that we would say Mary's story is, on a certain level, the story of every believer. Mary conceived Christ in her womb. We can carry Christ in our heart. Mary brought forth Christ into the world. We can bring forth Christ to the world as well. Mary was an ark that contained God. We can be an ark that contains God. So Mary's dormition, Mary's earthly death, is not only a remembrance of what happened to her, but a sign of what is promised to each of us. So the icon of Mary's dormition, then, really, it's an icon of every believer's funeral. At our funeral, our body lies dead. Mourners gather around. Jesus Christ invisibly receives our soul with an escort of angels. This is the believer's funeral as well. All things granted to the Holy Mother of God are promised to the one who believes. And even the resurrection of the body that the church proclaims in Mary's dormition reveals a mystery promised to all, that the grave can hold no one for very long. The grave can hold no one for very long. Life will win in the end. And then there's this one additional tradition that the church has developed associated with the dormition of the Virgin Mary is the blessing of the flowers at the Lord's Mother's departure, the blessing of flowers. And while there's a profound theological meaning, let's first not overlook the simple answer. Flowers are an offering of love. First and foremost, they are an offering of beauty and love to celebrate a life lived in the beauty and love of the Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, that's its core meaning. Now, how could we not bring flowers to Mary on the anniversary of her falling asleep? But there is also a deeper meaning. Ultimately, all flowers come from what? They come from a seed. The seed can be compared to life in this world. A seed is nice, a seed is good, but it's plain, it's ordinary, and mostly a seed is full of potential. A seed is full of potential. Nobody acquires flower seeds in order to keep them seeds. Flower seeds are intended to be buried. A flower seed is intended to be buried. But when you bury a flower seed in fertile soil, that's when the miracle happens. The new plant is a million times more wonderful, more fragrant, more beautiful than the seed ever was on its own. And that new plant becomes life-bearing itself, producing new seeds. Likewise, life in this world is good, but more so, it's full of potential. We are intended for something far greater than even this good life, and that is the kingdom of heaven. And the glory of life in the kingdom of heaven cannot even be compared to life in this world. I mean, just like, take a flower basket here. We planted that from seven seeds for that flower basket here. The glory of the life in the kingdom of heaven is compared, just like that flower basket can't be compared to the seed it came from. Which is why saints are celebrated most on the day of their earthly death. Like a flower seed, a believer is not so much buried as we are planted. Planted with anticipation that, like flowers from a seed, our new life in the kingdom of heaven will be beyond compare more glorious than life in the current world. And so this dormition of the Virgin Mary is, at its heart, a celebration of life reigning over death. A celebration that the Lord's resurrection was not only for him himself, but is a gift to all, of whom Mary was the first to receive it, but of whom all are called to receive it. The dormition is a celebration that life in this world, good as it is, cannot compare to the glory that awaits us. Amen.
Amen.